ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 13, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jadbharat, Text 20. Rahuganatvam apiyadvanosya sanyastadandaha kritabhuta maitraha असज्जितात्मा हरिसेवयाशितम् ज्ञानासीमादायतरातिपारम् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna compares the material world to a tree of illusion from which one must cut oneself free. Narupamasyeha tathopalabhyate nanto na chadir na cha sampratishtham ashvathamenam suvirudhamulam asanga shastrena dridhena chitvam tatah padam tat parimargitavyam यस्मिन् गता न निवर्तन्ति भूयः तमेव चाद्यं पुरुषं प्रपद्ये यतः प्रवृत्तिर्प्रसृता पुराणि. द रियल फॉर्म ऑफ दिस ट्री कैन नॉट बी परसीव्ड इन दिस वर्ल्ड. नो वन कैन अंडरस्टैंड वेर इट एंड्स, वेर इट बिगिन्स और वेर इट्स फाउंडेशन इज. बट विद डिटर्मिनेशन one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. So doing, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun and in whom everything is abiding since time immemorial. So, Rahuguna is being instructed by very elaborately, very descriptive, very graphic description of actually what he is holding on to, so that he will be convinced that what he is holding on to is big illusion. And then out of compassion now, Jadbharat again is personally speaking out his name. Rahugana is a tapasana yati. You know, that particular lecture, Grace Govind Prabhu very nicely was telling, when a person speaks, calls another person by name, that shows lot of intimacy. Otherwise, you give a general instruction. But even specifically, out of compassion, at this time, is actually feeling compassion for Maharaj Rahugana, simply because he was qualified to receive it. He was receptive, he was humble, and he was actually ready to accept the instruction. And therefore, after instructing the whole thing, now he is coming to a conclusion. So when the personal name comes, after that what follows is most important instruction. As Arjuna also, when he was revealing all his problem, Krishna was simply smiling. But when he saw actually his tears rolling down and he says that I am actually surrendering to you, I am your disciple, please instruct me. When that was his consciousness, at that time Krishna started speaking. Klaibhyam masmagamah partha na etatvai upapadyate. At that time he said, Klaibhyam masmagamah partha, specifically addressing him. Come on, Arjuna. Who are you? You remember? What is your background? how much mercy you have already received. Now don't, it is unbecoming of you to speak like this. Similarly, Rahugana, again he is just out of compassion, speaking out to Rahugana and telling that you are also the same victim of that merchant in the forest. Same situation like that. But the difference is, you can get out of it. You have to cut this illusory forest with a sword, tightly hold on to the sword of knowledge and cut this illusory tree of the forest. And then, now I advise you to, and how to do it? He said, take up the sword of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. If the sword is not very sharp, you can't cut the tree. It takes a long time. But you want to do a quick job of this knotted situation. You have the sharp the sword, the sharp, sharper the sword, the quicker the job. And he says, sharpen that sword of knowledge by devotional service. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, the 15th chapter verse, Purushottama Yoga, where Krishna is comparing this whole material existence to a perverted reflection of a tree on a reflecting surface of a water. That means actually this tree does not exist. Such a tree in the reflection actually does not exist. It's all illusory. Similarly, it is illusion to think that you are the enjoyer, you are the controller, you are the proprietor, everything is meant for you to enjoy. No, the fact is not this. The fact is, Krishna is the source of everything. He has created everything exclusively for His enjoyment. And therefore, simply knowing our position, we have to cooperate with the Lord to reciprocate in His pleasure pastimes. That's the ultimate perfection of life. But what is this reflecting surface? That reflecting surface which manifests the perverted reflection. Because if there is no reflecting surface, there is no question of a perverted reflection. So that reflecting surface is desire. Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sargeyanti parantapa. The root cause of coming into this world is trying to become the enjoyer, proprietor, controller, and creator. So that has, and that gives rise to this whole illusory. This is the root of this tree of illusion. So therefore, just go to the root and cut off this. There's no question of disentangling all these knots. These knots are so sticky, so tight, so intricate, so complicated, that there is no question of clearing this forest of illusion. You will end up, after clearing the forest, you will end up at the same place after many, many hours and days of. The only way is just keep cutting and then walking in further. Just have to cut this. Therefore, and that requires this sword of knowledge. That's why, that sword of knowledge is not effective to cut this knot as long as it is not sharp. And that sharpening is only possible by, you need a surface on which to sharpen the sword. It's like if you go to a barber shop, they have this kind of a stone on which you sharpen the sword. So this knowledge, can only be sharpened on that stone of devotional service. Otherwise, that knowledge cannot potentially cut the knot. Chidyate hridaya granthihi, chidyante sarva samshayaha, kshiyante chasya karmani, drishtaye vatmanishvare. Bhidyate hridaya granthihi, chidyante sarva samshayaha. Actually, this knots are due to the anarthas which create doubt about spiritual world, about the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person having his own abode. This doubt about the Supreme Absolute Truth is the knot. And as long as this doubt remains, one cannot proceed forward. So that samshaya, that doubt, which is due to anartha. And what is that anartha? Which results in the gross and subtle body. So, that can be cut out only by devotional service. Therefore, after this, immediately Krishna says how to go about that. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvai vimukta sukha dukkha sange gacchanti amudhaha padam avyayam. That lotus feet of the Lord can become when you are amudhaha, absolutely removed from this bewilderment. Who are the people who can't actually traverse, who can't cut this tree, and who can't go to the root and from there go to the original source, and that is the lotus feet of the Lord? The two kinds of people can't do job thoroughly. Those who are fully absorbed in this tree, they don't want to cut it. They want to hold on to that tree. For them, that tree itself is that shelter. They are holding on to this illusory tree and seeking shelter. Such a person doesn't want to cut the tree. In fact, he wants to hold on to the tree. So such a person can't cut this tree. And that is the materialistic people who feel that this perverted reflection is the truth. They are holding on to this maya. That's their problem. That is why I think Ashtavakra told Maharaj Janak. Ashtavakra went and caught hold of a tree and he said, "Leave me, leave me. What do you mean? You are catching hold and say, leave me." So that's exactly what you are doing. He said, "You are catching hold. You want to catch hold onto it. Then how can you actually leave it? First of all, you have to desire to leave it. After you desire to leave it, then there is a process of endeavoring. First of all, one must strongly desire. And that desire will come to the extent we realize that what we are holding on to cannot give us the desired satisfaction. That is the problem. The illusion is, these kind of activities that I am doing is going to give me relief, is going to give me happiness, is going to give me satisfaction. That is maya. What is not? It cannot give you because it doesn't exist. There is no substance. So, the first thing is to cut off. The second kind of people have the sword, but it is not sharpened. They are convinced. They are the impersonalists. The impersonalists are so disgusted with being kicked again and again by material nature that they have developed an attitude of dry renunciation. They are completely detached from this tree. But they, because they have been so much troubled by this tree, they are so hateful that they don't want to do with any tree. They think every tree is like this. And therefore, when they are informed of a true tree of which this is a dim reflection, perverted reflection, they don't accept it. They've been so much beaten up, they said, forget it. No more tree, no more reflection, no more nothing. Simply lose your existence. Shanti, Shanti, Om Shanti. Peace. Enough of, just like a patient who is very sick, actually, when you are really sick, even the sight of good food dripping with ghee makes you vomit. It is a fact. One time I was sick, I was in Sevasthan, upstairs, but somehow I said, no, I should come down, and if I sit with people who are eating, I may also develop a desire to eat. I came down, and that day, nice sabji was made, dripping, a little oil, and ghee also. But, and everyone was relishing it. But when I saw it, I just felt like vomiting. Just couldn't. I was wondering how these people are able to eat. Everyone is relishing, but I thought all are crazy. How can they relish this? So, a person who is sick, who is frustrated and disgusted, and for such a person, eating is a big austerity. And therefore, he thinks that the whole world is like this. So people who have no understanding of the existence, they are convinced that this whole thing is miserable, but they have no idea. So the impersonalists and the materialistic people, they are the people who can't cut. One doesn't have a sword, he's attached to this tree, and the other fellow has a sword, but it is so unsharp or blunt that he can't cut it. So he just wants to cut, you know, just get away with from this tree. So, and that, he said, the first thing one has to do is nirmana. Nirmana, that is humility. Humility, that's also a kind of pride, to think that I have been able to give up all these things. Humility means that comes by realizing one's insignificance. And that comes by actually hearing from a proper source. So, yastam veda sa vedavit, one who knows this tree of illusion, reflected tree, banyan tree, he says, yastam veda, one who knows this tree thoroughly, the nature of this tree, and what is this particular tree, and what is its actually, how it's a reflection, vedavit, he is the knower of the Vedas. Now, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the personified Vedas, they are praying to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and they are saying, the individual living entity, while inhabiting the material bodies he has created for himself by his karma, actually remains uncovered by either gross or subtle matter. This is so because, as the Vedas describe, he is part and parcel of you, the possessor of all potencies. Having determined this to be the status of the living entity, learned sages become imbued with faith and worship your lotus feet, to which all Vedic sacrifices in this world are offered, and which are the source of liberation. So the first thing is to realize that tattvamasi, we are also, you are non-different from that supreme truth. As the Supreme Lord is absolutely disconnected, has nothing to do with this material energy, it is superfluous. Similarly, even the living entity, gross and subtle matter, are superficial coverings. They are actually no contact with the soul. This conviction is actually knowledge. So, they have to realize that first. And that knowledge, having heard, you have to have faith. Faith in what? Faith in the existence of the Supreme Lord, existence of the spiritual world, existence of true variety, which we actually aspire for. So that requires faith, because right now we have no access to that. But by faith, and having determined our original status, we just proceed forward. That is the beginning of bhakti. That's why bhakti begins with adav shraddha. What is shraddha? Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe sudrida nishchay, Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. Krishna does exist. He is the original source of everything. It's not impersonal, all-pervading aspect. But behind that there is this person, and his lotus feet is the truth. Nitai charana satya tahara sevaka nitya dridhakari dharo nitayar paya. That is the truth. That lotus feet are the most worshipable thing, from which everything has emanated, and therefore that's the most worshipable thing. And then it says a very beautiful verse, the secret of how to actually achieve that eternal position. This verse says, this is text 21 of chapter 87, 10th canto. Duravagam atmatattva nigamaya tavatta tano charita maham amritabdhir parivarta parishramanaha na parilashanti kechid apavargam apishvarate charana saroja hamsakula sanga visishta grihaha. My Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable signs of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees who are like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus of your feet. Visrishta grihaha. Visrishta griha. Visrishta means abandoned. Griha means whose homes. That is this forest of illusory. Prabhupada gives the essence of this forest analogy in the previous verse translation, purport. What is it that is being criticized? He says, this is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. So, this is the purport. One verse purport. What Rahugana is being described is the way of material life. Material life, grossly it is exhibited in form of sex life. Why? Because that is an act which gives you the feeling that you are controller, it's meant for you to enjoy, and you are the proprietor, you own something, and you are the enjoyer. From a gross point of view, that is the ultimate act of bondage, into thinking that you are the controller, you are the proprietor, you are the enjoyer. Because it gets you the feeling that I am on top of things, I am the controller, I am the real enjoyer. In a gross way. And in a subtle way, puja, labham, pratishtha, profit, adoration and distinction. When people are very humbly, submissively offering obeisances at your divine lotus feet, you feel, yes, the ego is very pleasing to the ego. And that's because that's like the position of Krishna. Krishna is the only person at whose feet it's worth all the demigods offer their heads, Triadhish. So, to the extent dim reflection of Krishna we get, to that extent it is very intoxicating. So, The gross body gets this feeling through gross sex, and the subtle body gets this experience through subtle form of profit, adoration and distinction. You are very distinct. Krishna is the most distinct person. Nobody is equal to him, nobody is above him. And adoration, everyone is, he is the one who is only worshipable person. So to the extent that is offered to any living entity, there is a chance that that illusion comes that maybe to that extent I am. And that acts like a hard knot. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave that example of the marriage party which was going from one side of the river to the other side of the river. And they were rowing and rowing and rowing. But the boat was simply going round and round because the anchor was not removed. And that anchored is compared to this kind of attachment. As long as that thing is there, even though we may be performing devotional service, but the whole idea is actually we have to cut this knot through the sword of knowledge sharpened by the performance of devotional service. So, and how is that performed? That devotional service is performed in this way. Some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life. They say, parishramanaha. Parishramanaha means too much fatigue, tired, exhausted. Those who feel materially exhausted, realizing, I can't do it, it's all futile. Such a person, tvam akinchana gochara, can actually realize. So, by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. So, atma tattva means the science of the Supreme Lord can be understood only by Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yashasmi tattvatah. And that bhakti occurs by coming in contact with a bhakta and hearing submissively. That is the first thing. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, he gives an alternative description to parishramanaha. Parishramana means fatigue. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a different interpretation to this word parishramana. Giving an alternatory interpretation of the word parishramana, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that although the devotees of the Lord become fatigued after repeatedly diving into the endless waves and undercurrents in the ocean of the Lord's pleasure pastimes, people dance, people chant, people are perspiring, these devotees never desire any happiness other than the Lord's service, even the happiness of liberation. Rather, their very fatigue becomes pleasure for them. Just as the fatigue produced by sex indulgence is pleasurable to those addicted to sex. The Supreme Lord's pure devotees become enthused by hearing and charming narrations of his pastimes and feel impelled to dance, sing, shout out loud, kick their heels together, faint, sob, and run about like madmen. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishnot kirtana gana nartana kala pathojani bhrajita sad bhakta vali hamsa chakra madhupa shreni viharas padam karana anandi kaladhvanir vahatume jihva maru prangane shri chaitanya dayanidhe tavala sad lila sudha swardhuni. Jihva maru prangane. Jihva, the tongue, is compared to marubhumi. Marubhumi means desert. Maru prangane. Our tongue is like a desert. Desert is parched, dry. And if you want to make that desert very fertile, then one drop of water will not do. One drop will disappear even before it touches it. And all these activities of material world, people try to speak simply to derive some satisfaction. Some politics, some poetry, some kind of jokes, stories, whatnot. All these just to get some satisfaction. But to a desire, to a parched desert like tongue, all these are like little drops. In fact, they make it more thirsty. So the only way desert can become completely fertile is when constantly Mother Ganges flows. She never stops. Constantly flows. Mother Ganga has a source which is unending. From the lotus feet of the Lord, who is infinite. And therefore, constant flow eventually satisfies the desert and makes it completely fertile. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are like that Leela Sudha Swardhuni. Swardhuni means Ganga. Leela Sudha. Her the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like that nectarine Ganges. And when she flows on the tongue constantly. Now, simply Ganges is very, very satisfying in and of itself. But still, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes? He was simply glorifying Krishna Katha, always chanting about Krishna. Krishna Varnam. Krishna Varnayati. Always he would chant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers means they always glorify Krishna. So he says, Krishna Udkirtana Gana Nartana Kala Pathojani Bhrajita. So the pastimes of Lord Krishna are themselves like Mother Ganga. Very nourishing, very satisfying. But when that particular pastimes of the Lord, their names, forms, qualities, pastimes, abode, etc., Udkirtana, when that is sung, when people dance to that particular tune, to those pastimes, to their names, and they chant, they dance, Gana Nartana, then it is like Ganga, which is decorated with beautiful lotus flowers, Pathojani Bhrajita. Mother Ganga itself is very relishing, satisfying, rejuvenating. But when that Ganges is covered by the beautiful lotus flowers, then it is all the more attractive. Similarly, when the pastimes, name, form, etc. of the Lord are sung, you dance to the tune, then it is like very, very attractive. Pathojani Bhrajita. Then Sad Bhakta Avali. Avali. Avali means a row. Deepavali, we say, right? Row of lamps. So Sad Bhakta Avali. The group of devotees, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are called Sad Bhakta Avali. They are compared to Hamsa Chakra Madhupa. They are compared to the swans. They are compared to Chakravaka birds. They are compared to the bumblebees. These birds, swans, Chakravaka birds and bumblebees, don't go where stool or some filth or garbage is there. They only come to the beautiful crystal clear water decorated by lotus flowers. So, the pure devotees of the Lord, those rare fortunate souls, are naturally attracted to that place where the Ganges of Krishna Katha is chanted, people dance to the tune, and people are singing with all melodious tunes. Sadbhakta Vali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa Shreni Vihara Aspadam. Vihara Aspadam. It is a place of recreation. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yukta Ahara Viharasya, Yukta Karmasya Cheshtasa, Yukta Sopnava Bodhasya, Yogo Bhavati Dukha, Yukta Ahara, Yukta Cheshtasya, Yukta Karma, Yukta Vihara. So sometimes there is no sense gratification for a devotee. But this is Viharaspadam. Krishnotkirtana Gana Nartana Kala. That is the place of recreation for a devotee. Viharaspadam. That's a place of recreation. So, Shreni Viharaspadam. Karanandi Kaladhvanir. That particular melodious tune of glorification of the Lord is Karanandi. When it passes, that nectar passes through the ears and it touches the heart, it completely quenches the thirst. The burning heart is like a fire brigade. Tavakathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye bhuridajana. Tavakathamritam, that's nectarian, it actually purifies the heart and quenches that thirst which the tongue is desperately hankering for. So, Shreni Karnanandi Kaladhvanir Vahatume Jihuamaru Prangane Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhe. The devotee is begging, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is begging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you can actually give that facility, that benefit. So, in the next verse, after in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes a glimpse of the spiritual world. Natadbhasayate suryo nashashanko napavakaha yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. Having, you know, there's the description, a glimpse of a description of the spiritual world is there. And Prabhupada writes in that one particular sentence, he says, one must be captivated by hearing this information. What is the motivation for us to go through this seemingly austere devotional life? It is this. One must be captivated by this information. This is the carrot that is dangling in front of us and makes us to move forward. Otherwise, what is there? There is no carrot dangling in front of the Mayavadis. Therefore, poor fellows, what can they do? Even that carrot is also a Mayavad. So even their Krishna Katha is also, they also know that there is nothing there. That carrot also they think to be a perverted reflection. Because the original thing is also a reflection. Everything is a reflection. But what to do? The nature of the soul is desperately wanting to taste something. Therefore they also chant Bhagavad Katha. But there is no substance in it because they themselves are not convinced. But one must be captivated by this information. And in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmaji describes to all the devatas when there is darkness, because Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are in the womb of Diti, they are not coming out. She doesn't want to give birth because she knows they will create havoc. So for many years, they don't come out. And it creates havoc, the whole darkness. So all the demigods go to Brahma and say, why this darkness? And then he says, no, Chatushkumar went to spiritual world and they saw the spiritual world and what happened, the whole background of how Jay and Vijay fell down. At that time, Brahmaji starts description of the spiritual world. And after describing the whole spiritual world, the beautiful nature, the most attractive, the most sweet aspects of the spiritual world, Brahmaji concludes by telling Yannavrajantyagabhidorachananuvadat Shrinvantiyeya vishayakukathamatigni Yastushruta hatabhagair nubhiratasaras Tamstam kshipantyasharaneshu tamasuhanta. It is very much regrettable that unfortunate people do not discuss the description of Vaikuntha planets, but engage in topics which are unworthy to hear and which bewilder one's intelligence. Those who give up the topics of Vaikuntha and take to talk of the material world are thrown into the darkest region of ignorance. Lord Brahma said, my dear demigods, the human form of life is of such importance that we also desire to have such life. For in the human form, one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in this human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his abode, it is to be understood that he is very much affected by the influence of external nature. Human form is exclusively meant for hearing about the glories of the Lord. And then, Brahmaji says, who can qualify to actually go back to Godhead? He says, persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. But we know that we don't have these kind of things. Anyone who imitates is simply a sahajiya. So, Gauranga bolite hobe pulaka sharir, hari hari bolite nayane bobe nir. When will that day be? When it comes. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, this is because as long as we don't make offenseless chanting, offenselessly, to that extent, this feeling of tears flowing down the cheeks cannot happen. And it is very practically impossible to give up offensive chanting. Very difficult. The essence of all offensive chanting, if you go to the essence of all 10 principles, it is considering spiritual things to be material. Considering Guru to be ordinary person, considering the holy name to be equal to that of the demigods, considering Vedic literatures to be ordinary, exaggerative things. Everything. Still being attached to material thing in spite of chanting the holy name and knowing its glories. So the whole idea is this material conception, imposing our material conception even to the Lord and his paraphernalia, name, form, devotees, etc., is this offense. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, how in this practically impossible to give up these offenses, how one can actually overcome the offenses? So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Svatantra Ishvara Prema Nigudha Bhandar Bilaila Jaratare Nahaila Vichar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, is fully independent. Therefore, although it is the most confidentially stored benediction, he can distribute love of Godhead to anyone and everyone without consideration. Adyapiha Dekha Chaitanya Nama Yeilai Krishna Prema Pulakashru Vihvala Sehai. Whether he is offensive or inoffensive, anyone who even now chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, is immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy and tears fill his eyes. Prabhupada writes, the Prakrita Sahajiyas who chant Nitai Gaur Radhesham have very little knowledge of the Bhagavad conclusion, and they hardly follow the Vaishnava rules and regulations. And yet because they chant Bhajan Nitai Gaur, their chanting immediately invokes tears and other signs of ecstasy. Although they do not know the principles of Vaishnava philosophy and are not very advanced in education, by these symptoms they attract many men to become their followers. So some glimpse is there. Nityananda bolite hoy Krishna premodai aulaya sakala anga ashru ganga vai. Simply by talking of Nityananda Prabhu, one awakens his love for Krishna. Thus all his bodily limbs are agitated by ecstasy and tears flow from his eyes like the waters of the Ganges. Krishna nama kare aparadhera vichar. Krishna bolile aparadhera nahaya vikar. There are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. Prabhupada explains the 10 offenses. Tadashma saram hridayam batedam. If one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, nor does hair stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. Eka Krishna Nama Kare Sarva Papa Nash Premira Karana Bhakti Karena Prakash. Simply chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without offenses vanquishes all sinful activities. Thus, pure devotional service, which is the cause of love of Godhead, becomes manifest. Premira udaye hoy, premira vikar, svedakampa pulakadi gadgada shrudhar. When one's transcendental loving service to the Lord is actually awakened, it generates transformations in the body such as perspiration, trembling, throbbing of the heart, faltering of voice and tears in his eyes. Anayase bhavakshaya krishnera sevan, eka krishna namera phale pai etadhan. As a result of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one makes such great advancement in spiritual life that simultaneously his material existence terminates and he receives love of Godhead. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful that by chanting even one name, one very easily achieves these transcendental riches. Hena Krishna nama yadi laya bahubar, tabu yadi premana he nahe ashrudhar. This is our problem. If one chants the exalted holy name of the Lord again and again, and yet his love for the Supreme Lord does not develop, and tears does not appear in his eyes. Tabe jani aparadha tahati prachur, Krishna nama bija tabe nakare ankur. It is evident that because of his offenses in chanting, the seed of the holy name of Krishna does not sprout. So, then the solution is given. Text number 31, Adi Lila, chapter 8. This is our only hope. Because we have tried so many times. In fact, if we chant more than what prescribed rounds, then tears roll down our cheeks. That is our situation. Anything more. Chaitanya Nityananda nahi esabha vichar, namalaite prema dena bahe ashrudhar. But if one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he feels the ecstasy of love of God. And there is a big purport to this, but I would like to read the essence. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this connection that if one takes shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, follows their instructions to become more tolerant than the tree and humbler than the grass, and in this way chants the holy name of the Lord, very soon he achieves the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and tears appear in his eyes. There are offenses to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but there are no such consideration in chanting the name of Gaura Nityananda. Therefore, if one chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but his life still is full of sinful activities, it will be very difficult for him to achieve the platform of loving service to the Lord. But in spite of being an offender, one chants the holy name of Gaura Nityananda, he is very quickly freed from the interactions of his offenses. Therefore, one should first approach Lord Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda or worship Guru Gauranga and then come to the stage of worshipping Radha Krishna. In our Krishna consciousness movement, our students are first advised to worship Guru Gauranga, and then when they are somewhat advanced, the Radha Krishna deity is installed and they are engaged in worship of the Lord. And then he says, yeah, it should be noted in this connection that the holy name of Krishna and Gaur Sundar are both identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not consider one name to be more potent than the other. Considering the position of the people of this age, however, the chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is more essential than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous incarnation and his mercy is very easily achieved. Therefore, one must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. By serving Gaur Nityananda, one is freed from entanglements of material existence and thus becomes qualified to worship the Radha Krishna deity. So that's why, before chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, before beginning every round, we chant this Panchatattva Mahamantra. But one should remember what is their gift or what is their mercy. That Trinadapi Suni Chena Taroriva Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And since he is exhibiting these qualities, Maharaj Rahugana, therefore, a devotee of the Lord has taken compassion on him. To take shelter of the Lord, actually, the first thing required is to hear about our true self, about Krishna's true self from in the association of devotees. And to receive it, we need to have humility. And after receiving it, to practice it, we need the determination and the mercy of the Lord. And that requires this particular verse, Trinadapi Sunichen. So with this, if we are chanting this Panchatattva Mahamantra and then approach the Mahamantra, there is hope for us. Otherwise, and then we don't have to make an effort. Automatically, this illusory tree of material existence, the forest of material enjoyment, will gradually be cut off, and the inclination to serve the Lord will increase. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gopremanandi. Hari Hari Bol.